You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger. Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
The things that I have wanted to help people recover on Abounding Grace Radio is how we read the entire Bible as one great story of redemption, God's storyline all the way through to tell us about the person and the work of Jesus. We were told in this country for a long time among Christians that the Old Testament really is not useful for New Testament Christians. It really was for national Israel, but now we're in the church age and therefore we should only be looking at the New Testament. This has really hurt us in our understanding of God's revelation and what He is doing from Genesis all the way to Revelation. He's showing us throughout the Old Testament all of the promises of His gospel made in the covenant of grace to Abraham, how they unfolded in the life of that people, and now we live in fulfillment. We can see the whole story now. Sometimes we just open up the New Testament and we haven't considered at all what God had been teaching for after generation after generation after generation to the next people that came of the story of their redemption. That's why we're studying Exodus. That's why we're going through and looking at this great story of salvation, which is unfolding before us in the book of Exodus. And today we come to the 10th plague where God sets them free from the tyranny of Pharaoh. And that is the whole story, that we have been in Christ set free from the tyranny of the devil. And now He watches over us the whole way home in our wilderness journey so that not a hair can fall from our head without the will of our Father in heaven. We're going to look at this today at Abounding Grace Radio. So grateful to our listeners that you take time out of your day to tune in. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Find us on Facebook. We would love to communicate with you and hear from you. So do please talk to us. Send us a note of how these messages are blessing you. We're always grateful for your support for Abounding Grace Radio. Here's that program now from Exodus chapter 12, which I have titled The Deadliest Plague.
What if today was it? What if today was the end? The last day. The separation is going to happen at about midnight. It'll all be over. It'll all be over. The Egyptians who have troubled you, you will see no more forever. And God will bring you home once and for all. God, in all of His promises that He ever made and that you have been preached to for years and years and years, that you've heard, will finally be realized. And judgment on the wicked will begin. The day that you believed in, but wondered if it would ever really come, has arrived. It seems that one of the greatest challenges of our generation is simply to believe in the physical return of the Lord Jesus Christ on the clouds of heaven to judge the living and the dead. Well, that, as anticipating that final event, we see this unfold, this very thing in Egypt before us this morning. You have a detailed description of what the final judgment will be like. In the last section, the Lord Himself said to Pharaoh, "I'm coming, Pharaoh. I'm coming for you. And I'm coming and I'm going to strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt." in the midst of this, you had, and you saw it in the text, the emphasis on unleavened over and over and over. The Lord kept telling them, get ready, it's time. Get ready, we're going to go soon. The day is at hand. It's come. All my promises, everything you believed, everything you've been patient in believing for 430 years, you are now going to see with your eyes. You're the generation to see it. You're going to see salvation. You're going to see judgment. You're going to see judgment on those who have treated you so harshly and hurt you and harmed you and martyred you. What is this morning? The striking thing about all of this is that it's telling our story. Everything that we've believed, everything that we have faced, again, I remind us that there has been no generation in the history of the church that has seen more martyrs than ours. Everything that we have faced, these people so many years ago lived. And they're a witness to us. They're telling us, this day will come. This day will come. The separation is about to begin, the great separation. And that is before us this morning, the goal to increase your faith as you listen to this in God's gospel promises, to believe everything that he's told you and everything that God has promised will soon be fulfilled. And we're going home. The message, he will protect you. The message, he will shield you through it, is right here this morning. And so the Lord is telling us, be ready. That day is at hand. This morning, we see this in the execution of, if you're taking notes, the execution here of this final judgment on the land of Egypt, which will culminate in Pharaoh and his armies going into the sea. We see the execution of the judgment. We see the protection in the midst of the judgment, and you receive the release of Israel in the midst of all of this. The execution, the protection, and the release. 400 years, 430 to be precise, they have been there. The defining moment has now come of everything that God had promised to Abraham that he would bring them back. Now he was setting them free. This midnight cry and what they were about to experience would be spoken about for years to come in all the generations of Israel. They would sit down and they would teach their children this, that the destroyer came at midnight. And those who had prepared, those, which you can't help but think about Jesus' parable of the 10 virgins, those who had prepared, those who had the blood of the Passover lamb came out to the Lord, those who did not face the judgment. This was so clear to Israel. They were taught and were experiencing the blessings of the single great story of Scripture that the Lord had been telling all the way back from Genesis chapter 3:15. They were seeing this unfold. They were seeing God work in history and telling this story, unfolding this story, which is the story ultimately of what Christ would do when he came to the cross. Israel had the gospel preached to them. Israel was learning the gospel. They were told it all, that one day the blood of a pure lamb would come and he would shed that blood on the tree, on the wood, and those who believe in him would be passed over and brought to him and they would not face death. They'd escape. The whole study of Israel's deliverance from Egypt is the story of salvation. That's why we do this. That's why we go through the Old Testament. The Lord's been telling us this story from the beginning of time. But it's also a warning to all of those who don't have a covering. And so as we see this unfold this morning, I want you to step back with me in time, if I can say that. And I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the average Israelite as you're experiencing this, as you're going through this. 9 plagues had just unfolded in front of them just been unleashed on this most powerful nation of the world ever to exist. God was doing it for them. God was coming to get them. They had just started to celebrate the Passover. They took that lamb without spot. They had shed its blood. And they took the large hyssop plants and they dipped it in the blood and they painted it over the doorways of their homes. It was the night of their deliverance. Nobody slept that night. As they celebrated, coinciding with the unleavened bread, they did it standing up. The Lord didn't want him sitting down. I want you all standing up for this meal. Because in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Lord had told them, it's time, be ready. At a moment's notice, you're out. You're going to be thrust out. To teach them that as soon as the angel of death had come and passed them over and that they were covered with the Lamb, they were free. They were finally free. They were free from Egypt. And they were immediately to get out of there and not look back. Their whole existence was now to be thought of as unleavened. Every year as they would celebrate the Passover in the future and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, immediately they would always be reminded and they were to teach their children that God had delivered them that day through blood. And they had a brand new beginning. It was brand new. This was the new month. This was the first of their year they were to think as. As they chewed the bitter herbs, they thought a lot about all those years of bitter sorrow, the word that the Lord chose, to make them remember that, to remember how bitter their bondage was, how hard that bondage was, how miserable that bondage was in the life that they formerly had. This is the last night of sorrow. Tomorrow they're free. Tomorrow they walk. Tomorrow they come home. Can you imagine? That night, they're sitting there. What do you think went on in the average Israelite home, you know, as they're sitting there thinking, this is it. All those years of hardship. Think about the death of grandparents and how hard it was to see their loved ones suffer in such a way all of those years, to go through all of that. Think of the blood of the martyrs, the seed of the church. Think of it for them. Think about seeing that there at the mills. Think about them being beaten down by all, and that's what it said in chapter 1. They were beaten severely in Egypt by the taskmasters. The sufferings, the agonies, all the years of blood spilled. Babies flung into the Nile. Must have been hard to process, I'm thinking. Can you imagine what they felt? Can you begin to put yourself there? I'm no longer going to be in this anymore. I'm going to be free. I'm going to be brought to this God who has loved me like this. I'm going to get to go worship Him in freedom. The Lord is setting us free tonight. Well, at this point, Moses had just explained to them how it was to go and the meaning of it. Now they're about to experience it. If you're in their shoes, you've just been told by Moses that the angel of death is about to come. You witnessed God's power for the last several months as the nation of Egypt is in shambles, and every other nation on the face of the earth is talking about this. They know what's happened. Everyone's scared to death of Yahweh. So you finished the Passover. You're dressed and ready to go. You have your belt on. You have your staff in your hand. You have your sandals on. You are ready to go. No one's sleeping that night, by the way. Giant hyssop has been used to put blood on their doorposts. No one's laughing. It's the weekend. Youth aren't down at the Nile River. The angel destroyer's coming tonight. Death is about to hit. They've been told this for years. No clocks are in Egypt. Those wouldn't come around for a couple thousand years. No one's yawning. And then it happened. Verse 29. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon and all the firstborn of the livestock. I'm not quite sure how that went. It's darkness, it's silence. The Lord comes himself and gives, as he said he would, the final blow. Each family of Egypt, the Egyptians went to sleep that night. No one took it very seriously, it seems, because it says that they woke up in the middle of the night to find their firstborn dead. The angel of death makes his way over the homes, this destroyer, as he's called earlier. We read that the Egyptians went to sleep, but he makes one standard. There's one standard as he goes over every single home in all of the region. He stops at every home and he inspects the doorframe. Was there blood there or not? That was it. That was the standard. If there was blood, he passed over the house. If there was not, he entered in and struck. You're Israel. It just started. In the distance, just outside of Goshen, you begin to hear cries. And they're not little cries. You've seen in communities when one child dies, the agony that the whole community faces. There was not a house that was not struck. And the greatest one, the son of Ra himself, had his son struck, the heir to the throne, which is the big hit that night. Even the son of Pharaoh got hit all the way into the lowest dungeons of the prisoners. God was no respecter of persons. Think of the dread of that. What prisoner down low could put up blood? Can you imagine the anxiety if you're an Israelite? It's dreadful. Silence and then wailing. You think Israel's praying at the moment? In the homes? Oh, I do. Probably things like Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come up to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. My heart is struck down. I'm forgetting to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones are clinging to my flesh. It has to have something to do with the tears that the Lord will wipe away at the end. It's awful. This was judgment day. The Lord had told them what to do. The Lord knew that as he passed over, they would be scared to death. So what did he do for them? He said, I want you to put up blood on your doorpost. And I don't know if you caught it last time in chapter 12, but he said, as a sign for you. How kind. I want you through this to have absolute confidence in my love for you. I want you through this to know that as you look to the blood, I'm not going to strike. That night, I'm sure every father clenched his firstborn. The fear and anxiety must have been overwhelming. Especially when you start reflecting on what I said earlier to Rachel about their later sins. But that was not something that started out in the wilderness. the scriptures tell us they were worshiping the same idols in Egypt as the Egyptians were worshiping. Can you imagine starting to reflect upon your life and starting to think about, we're no better than them? Through it all, what did God say to them? He said, I want the blood on the doorpost as a sign for you. That's the way you're going to escape. That's the way the Lord made a difference that day. It was the blood of the Lamb put up on the doorframe. If someone didn't have it, it didn't matter who they were. This is what's so important. It didn't matter how good or bad they had been. It didn't matter. All that mattered was when the Lord came and inspected, was there blood there? The crucial verse in this whole thing, the verse that I had to stop and think, this is absolutely wonderful, is verse 42. Look carefully at it. It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So this same night is a night of watching kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout all their generations. This was a night of watching by the Lord. As the destroyer came, notice their capitalized letters, the Lord, the same name from the burning bush. The one who is a consuming fire came down, and the imagery that he wanted Israel to have and us to have and generations to come to have is that he came and he stood and watched over his people through the whole thing. It was a night of watching, his watching. Watching who? He says it. It was a night of watching to bring them out. He wasn't letting any of them get hit. He stood by them. What was the difference? Faith. What was it? You either put the blood on the doorpost believing or you rejected it. He wanted faith. They were called to believe him. They were called to trust him, that the blood of the Lamb would cover them. And the entire time he had been saving them, he loved his people. What a God. You ever stop and think about how good he's been to you? It really isn't all that good until you really understand the judgment that is righteous and deserving on this world and on you. And he's, your whole life, given you none of it. He has loved you, he has cared for you, and he's instructed you in the gospel to make sure you understand that love. See the character of your God? I mean, this is what inspired the psalmist. This is what drove them to write things. You're finally getting to understand the story in the Psalms, which is the same story when the psalmist would write things like this. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you under his wings. He goes on, you'll find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Boy, did Israel experience that. You will only look with your eyes and see the judgment on the wicked. No evil shall befall you. No plague will come near your tent. Psalm 91. You could go on. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord doesn't go to sleep in the middle of the night. He doesn't take a nap. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. He's your protector. This is why Jesus kept telling people that anyone who has him, even though they die, they'll live. Death can't touch them. This was his whole message. Do your sins scare you? I think to myself, all the millions of people who have ever lived and sinned against God, and what about my own sins? What about your sins? You're no better. Not one of his sheep were left behind. Not one. And then notice what happens. He released them. This is so beautiful in verse 31. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night. Rise, go from among my people, both you and the children of Israel. Go and serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks, herds. He had tried countless times to stop, exerting his power over each emphasis there, flocks and herds. He says, you take them all as you have said. Be gone and bless me. You ever seen images when a prisoner is released from prison and the big giant gate comes down and it hits the ground? Prisoner looks back and he looks out at all of the space in front of him. He doesn't even know what to do. Freedom for the first time. Imagine the Israelites standing there as all those years behind them, they're leaving Ramses. They're leaving the place of the kings. They're leaving all the affliction, and in front of them is the vast wilderness. God was bringing them home. The tyranny of Pharaoh was done. And in the next scene, he's about ready to drown them, like in the right to the bottom of the Red Sea. Mom, Dad, where are we going? Where are we going? Children, the Lord's freed us today. The Lord set us free today. We're going home.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face to face in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.